Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts give you praise and glory. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. So, as Alan mentioned, we are coming to the final section of the Old Testament in our year of the Bible. We come to the section called the Minor Prophets. Let you know this, all week I've been trying to find a joke to start with about minor prophets. Capitalism and digging have figured highly in my thinking. I've got nothing. So I put that out there. Imagine that I started with some kind of hilarious little gag based around the phrase minor prophet, just before we start our sermon. The minor prophets are 12 writers. They are called minor prophets not because they are less important, but simply they are the shorter of the written prophets. And they fit together in near chronological order. You'll get some people who disagree exactly about where the different prophets fit in relation to each other. But quite frankly, today, we're not going to be too bothered by that. This morning, I want to give you an overview of the first three of the minor prophets. Hosea, Joel, and Amos. Now, we do need to have a little bit of history and context to understand where they fit and how they fit together. So, the kingdom of Israel, God's chosen people, called out of slavery in Egypt, brought eventually to the promised land, where under Saul and then David and Solomon, there was one kingdom. But it split. It split into two halves. You had the northern kingdom, which we refer to as Israel, somewhat confusingly, and in the southern kingdom of Judah. So, we had these two kingdoms that have divided, these two kingdoms that exist side by side. They are collectively the people of God, but they seem to operate in different ways. At different times, they were in better or worse shape. At different times, they were in better or worse relationship with each other. And at different times, they had better or worse kings. That's what Kings and Chronicles is all about. As we read through that, we see which were the good kings and which were the bad kings. Heads up, Kingdom of Israel, Northern Kingdom, a succession of bad kings. Because they did not take seriously their original call to be the light for the world, to be God's people showing God to all the nations around them. Instead of worshipping the one true God, they made idols for themselves. They made golden calves. And as we remember from reading Exodus, that is not a good move. And they created them, and that was at the center of their worship. They still worship God, but they did it in a variety of ways that did not truly honor who God was. Northern Kingdom, iffy. Southern Kingdom, hit and miss. And the 12 prophets speak variously to either the Northern Kingdom or the Southern Kingdom, challenging them on various things. This morning's sermon is not a comfortable one, if I'm honest with you. As we look at what the prophets said to the people, as what Hosea said, what Joel said, and what Amos said, actually, I think there's something in that that speaks to us today as well. So a little overview of each of them. First of all, Hosea, 14 chapters of this prophet from the Northern Kingdom, speaking to the Northern Kingdom of Israel, challenging them on their religious practices. The book of Hosea uses an illustration, an actual life illustration from the prophet Hosea. He marries an adulterous wife, and the account of the relationship between God and his people is therefore shown through the lens of this relationship. It uses this illustration of the people being unfaithful to God. It is a book that contains some of the most beautiful and heart-melting imagery of the whole Bible, of how God feels about his people, about how God relates to his people. Listen to this from Hosea chapter 11. I love these verses. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt I called my son, but the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. This beautiful, heartbreaking imagery of a parent and a child, of a broken relationship. 14 chapters of challenge. And Isaiah finishes with a call to that kingdom, to that northern kingdom, to return to God, to true worship, to seek forgiveness. Next in the order of the books is Joel, and I'm going to skip that one for the moment. We'll come back to him in a minute. We'll come to Amos, because Amos also preaches to the northern kingdom of Israel. Amos, it seems, wasn't a professional prophet, for want of a better word. He was a landowner, a farmer, an orchard owner in Judah, who was called by God to take a message to the northern kingdom. Now, both Hosea and Amos come towards the end of the northern kingdom. They come in its last heyday, its last big blowout, when things seem to be going okay. Under King Jeroboam II, because with a name like Jeroboam, it's so good, you need to use it again. Under Jeroboam II, the kingdom had grown, its boundaries, its influence, its power was greater than it had ever been. And yet, it seemed that that came at the cost of injustice, of complacency, of arrogance. And so Amos was called to speak into this situation. He calls out the injustice. He challenges the inequality. And he has some beautiful passages too. This famous phrase in Amos 5:24, God calls to them, "Let justice roll like rivers. Let righteousness flow like a never-failing stream." And again, there's that challenge that God is going to deal with this stuff, even if it is difficult, even if it is costly, even if it is painful. But again, Amos finishes in hope. God promises to restore. He's not going to relent, but he's not going to reject forever. And the third of our minor prophets this morning is Joel, who fits in the order between the two. Chronologically, that's where it's, some people think he comes. It could also come much later. But that really doesn't matter with Joel, because his message isn't contingent upon where exactly it fits in history. Because Joel is speaking to an event. And that event was a plague of locusts. He was writing to the southern kingdom, to Judah, who it seemed was suffering from this plague of locusts, the like of which had never been seen before by the people of Judah. And he sees within this great and terrifying cloud of little buzzy insects that eat everything, a picture of what he calls the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he calls to the people of Judah to repent, because he says, look what is coming. Don't think that just because we are the people of God that we're all going to be fine and everything's happy and hunky-dory. We need to think about what this day is going to be like for us. He challenges the people of Judah to repentance, to take seriously God's call to holiness. It is not an automatic blessing, he says. So, that's the overview. Those cheery thoughts to set us up on a Sunday morning. You might be thinking, at this stage then, well, these are all very interesting thoughts, information, a bit of background, lovely, but this was written 2,700 years ago to two kingdoms in the Middle East, completely different cultures, very different contexts. So what's the relevance to us today? Is there any value in reading these books? And on one level, of course there is, and it's very easy to kind of, it's in the Bible, of course it's valuable, and that's true, because we need to read the whole Bible to interpret the whole Bible. We can't go skipping bits, because we need to understand what God is like. All of it gives us that picture of who God is. But I want to say today that maybe the minor prophets are of greater importance to us as society, as culture, than they've been for a very long time. And it probably come at a time when the minor prophets are read the least. If you're anything like me, and you've got a Bible, and you've got dirty fingers, you can see which bits of the Bible you've read by the cleanliness of the pages on the ends. Minor prophets, that's the bit in the middle which is always pristine. And that's true for all of us. But there is real value in reading these, because these words of challenge speak to us today in this situation too. You see, they are words of challenge. They are words of challenge to a society that actually has put profits and gain and power above anything else. They are words of challenge to a society that has made assumptions about how things will be in the future because of, well, it always used to be okay for us, therefore, surely it will be. They are words of challenge to events that are taking place there and then. God is speaking into their very history. And I think each one of those things is applicable to us today in our society, in our world. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been around various churches in the local area. And a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching at one church. And at the end of the service, over a cup of coffee, as people do, people come up and say, "Oh, that was a lovely sermon." Yeah. Yes, I expect that. People always are very polite. Not that I expect that because it is a lovely sermon. I expect it because people are polite and British. Let's clarify that. And then they followed up and said, "Oh, and it was lovely to hear a sermon about the Bible." And I thought, well, yes, of course it is. It is good. Because I preached on the parable of the day, which Jesus had preached. And he said, "And it was particularly nice not to have a sermon that was all political, telling us what we should be doing." And I went tremendously British at that stage, I'm afraid. And I went, "Mm-hmm, yeah, lovely, yeah." And I walked away from that church later that day thinking, oh, I should have challenged that. Because if nothing else, the minor prophets remind us that as God's people, we're called to be political. Not party political, but we're called to be challenging society. We're called to be a voice. We're called to speak out on behalf of those people who don't have the voice that's heard. We're called to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. We're called to challenge society when we see it walking away from what God calls us to. We're called to speak into the events of our day, our history, and say, "Do you think that maybe God is saying something in this?" We're called to break down those assumptions, to break down injustice, to break down equality. Those are what the minor prophets were doing. This is what we're called to today. But I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with where each one of the minor prophets finishes to. Because there is challenge, and we've got to take challenge seriously. But there is hope as well. Each one of the minor prophets, each one of them finishes with this message that one day God will restore. One day God's plan for his kingdom is to renew. God's plan is to take away the bad and to leave the good. We are invited into that good. Because this is where we have come into the story. We've come in through the work of Jesus. That he has already won for us the victory. He's taken away for us those things that have stopped us from coming to God. On the cross, Jesus has set us free. And by rising again, he has invited us into that new life. God has dealt with that problem of sin for us. And so we're invited into these messages of hope, these messages of restoration and renewal. We still have that challenge, don't get me wrong. But we also know that God has met that challenge for us, ultimately. But I want to leave you with the words of Joel. The words from Joel chapter 2 that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. As that message of hope and renewal and new life was birthed in Jerusalem as the Holy Spirit came there. These words are the words that Peter spoke from the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both male and female, I will pour out my spirit in those days. and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen.